Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, what is up? It is me, Ewan from What Culture Gaming. Today, joined by Scott Telford.
Hello!
You've roped me in today, Scott, because there is apparently some E with the three need to know about.
Yes, I got the youthful, most hip and poppin' fresh man in the office to talk the latest thing.
Where have I heard that from?
I think it's from The Simpsons, with poppin' fresh. I think Mr. Burns is into it anyway.
Oh yeah, Mr. Poppin' Fresh!
Yeah!
I remember now.
This is the E3 equivalent of Mr. Poppin' Fresh, although slightly less lovable. So basically, E3 have been aware that ESA is the board that's behind E3. Very much aware that the sort of popularity of E3, the general status
of E3. The pop and fresh reality, if you will.
Yes, it's kind of waning. And they want to do a bit of something to sort of overhaul it. So they're completely going into the guts of it and completely relaunching it next year. It's still going to be called E3 and everything. But as Game Daily wrote up, they've acquired this pitch deck, which is the corporate name
pitch
for a
deck.
PowerPoint spreadsheet presentation as to how they're going to overhaul everything relating to E3. Now, there's some grade A corporate video gamey, oh my God, the most detached people on earth.
Do they say synergy?
Fun. They don't say synergy, but no. You have noted the word Q-tainment is going to come up, but there's plenty more as well. So basically this is the leaked sort of pitch deck that's been acquired by Game Daily as to how they're going to sort of reboot E3. So there's a lot of seismic things in here. One of the main things is that the actual sort of attitude towards the place is being changed to think of it more like a festival. They said that it's going to be overhauled to become a fan, media and influencer festival. That's the I word.
They used the I word.
You know, do you want tastemakers there?
Tastemakers, no. Oh.
So this is the opening gambit, is that they're going to change the general feel of it. But, you know, just what's your initial thoughts? Festival, mate?
The only thing that can influence me is the games themselves. I don't need some guy coming on and just being like, hello, here's a game.
Well, that's what
I have 25,000 Twitter followers, so I'm important.
Well, you're definitely getting more of that. So the whole show floor is going to be changed as well. They're going to have 8 different experience hubs so that you walk in and it's like, if you imagine like a spider and like squished it and it just went all flat and the legs went out, that's sort of the new, that's the show floor thing. We'll probably show you.
Do you know what that looks like? Have you
killed spiders?
I like to leave them out. I'm a humanitarian.
Just kill them.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Don't kill the spiders. Hashtag don't kill the spiders.
Kill them if you want.
No.
It depends on the size.
But get the size of the terrier. That's a part.
It's true. But also, they've done this whole thing where the general sort of layout is this sort of squish spider style locale. And they have experience hubs all around the outside. So you can go for a nice lovely experience at your festival.
What are you going to get an experience hub? Is that just their way of saying demo booths or play booths?
We'll get onto the state of demos in a sec. But I must first tell you about the fact that they're increasing the amount of people that can go. So back in 2017, E3 decided to become more of like a public event. It's always, you always used to be the industry festival type thing, but in 2017 they opened it up to the public. Now this is the thing that they're swerving way more into. Reports from 2019's E3 already said that it was incredibly busy on the floor. You had to wait for hours to get to demos, and basically opening it up to exponential amounts of the public just clogs everything because they haven't really changed the space of it. 10,000 more people are going to be let in, so John,
I hope you like heat stroke.
Yeah, do you want them with the influence?
And sweat and smell, because it's just, having been to many conventions in the past, there are people there who don't bathe beforehand.
The unwashed masses.
The nasals getting you.
You do what they can.
Yeah.
But 10,000 more of them to just sort of fill in and make more queues and stuff. So, you know, nice, pleasant feel. Do you want to be that?
Bit crammed,
isn't it?
How many people can you fit in? Can you cram it at one experience booth?
I don't know, but you want about demos as well. So you imagine this: you've got this festival thing, you've got all these celebrity endorsements, all these influencer type things, all these tastemaker type things. The way that they're going to be handling demos to get around the fact that it literally takes hours to play things at I went out to Gamescom and stuff like that. You are in queues for ages unless you can manage to get ahead of it. They have a Disneyland style fast pass that you can apply for ahead of time. That they said, you can register for a demo time window and come back later to avoid waiting for hours at a time for a single game. But while you're waiting in the line, that's where Q-tainment comes in, because they want to give you some apps so they can track you while you're in the queue, and you can be engaged while you're in the queue.
Wait, what apps?
Well, I don't know. They've got an official one. What? So, do you want some Q-tainment?
I bet you the Q-tainment is going to have microtransactions. You'll be in the queue for like, they'll have worked this out and be like, okay, someone entering the queue at 2 o'clock is going to be in the demo booth at 5 o'clock. So what we'll do is we'll time it so that they have enough free bits to play for an hour and a half, and then they've got to get some E3 coins, and that's your Q-tainment.
I'm going to read you some stuff, because they have said that on the back of this whole influencer thing that they're doing some celebrity deals and stuff as well, which is where the really corporate grade A fun sort of comes in. They said that they want to focus on high-profile celebrity activations.
Activations?
Never heard the word activations in this sort of context before, but they're going to put them in.
It just powered down and then just push me on the back.
Content? So the example that they give is they refer to the LA Lakers playing a basketball game or a selection of actors playing in a tournament. Now, the tournament thing with the actors reminds me of the Battlefield stuff that like Snoop Dogg and stuff did.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. So fair. I guess like there was a bit of a hook to it.
It's still a bit awkward, isn't it?
I mean, it's still not a game show.
The way you do that is to go full, like, without any irony whatsoever, just have a full esports tournament with like super, like all these celebrities just clearly don't give a toss. And then you've got this commentator being like, here comes Snoop Dogg with the car. That'd be really, really funny.
If they bring the shoutcasters out in force, but give me celebrities that don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Just give me a whole load of Joel McHale's.
Entire audience of Joel McHale.
It's a thing. So another phrase, there's a lovely little phrase here, is that they want to exploit the power of social good. So I don't know if you want to do
exploit
it.
Exploit!
Use the power.
Right. Okay, so we've got a thing there that I think might be mutually exclusive. Social good.
Yep.
Exploitation.
Well, okay, so it's the slide on here was called the power of social good. The phrase is that the ESA suggests exploiting millennial and Generation Z propensity for giving back. Do you feel like
propensity? For giving back.
Do you feel like you have a propensity for giving back?
What are we giving back to the industry?
You hold on, because there is a lovely little phrase in here. Mm-hmm. So on the back of that thing, it said that the ESA hopes to create exclusive appointments through activations and select attendees who will create buzz and FOMO. FOMO apparently is fear of missing out, which is how sort of down with the kids these people are. Do you want to apply for you ahead of time?
How is that? What's that got to do with social good? I don't understand.
I don't know, but
if you've got a fear of missing out, that is making you feel a little bit anxious and a little bit upset. And if you can't go, then
that's why you need to go. You need to be there. They refer to it at the end of this as well, which is a lovely word that they used called chits. They said they want to build up and cash in on chits.
Is that a new flavour of crisp?
I had to Google chits. Apparently a chit is a sum owed, which we sort of like thought that maybe
We're monetising social good now.
Yeah, a little bit. So I think if they get like a general feel around E3 that you have to be there, all the influencers are going to be there, oh my God, you can't not be there, then you cash that back in. That's how they rope you back in year on year. It's the place to be for the young popping
fresh.
Fun.
How did we get to this point, Scott?
Social media.
Remember when E3 was good?
No, not anymore.
I think I've blotted it all from my mind.
To be fair, I mean, if you think of the last couple of years, like at least most of this generation's E3s haven't necessarily been out and out disappointments, but they haven't had the same pull, like you said, like they used to have. For me, the thing that I loved about E3 was that it was this industry showcase, and it was more, I don't know, planned ahead of time. Like developers would wait and showcase things at E3, knowing that they wouldn't be leaked ahead of time. But obviously, we're in a different landscape these days, and things like the Nintendo live streams or even little blooming Yacht Club games showing off all the Shovel Knight stuff on their own live stream kind of goes against what the whole point of E3 is. So I it's a pivot, I guess. It's them going like, well, what can we do that's different?
The frustrating thing is, I think they're leaning into the wrong thing here. The thing that always drew me towards E3 was the theatricality of it all. So you'd get really excited before, but this is the place I'm going to find out about everything my favourite developers and studios have been working on, all the sequels, all the new IPs that have been rumoured beforehand. Mm-hmm. This is going to be really, really great. And if you're just leading into the whole convention aspect of it, it's just going to turn into another con in that
sense. Like, it's a weird thing, because across the last, let's say, like 11 to 12-ish years, since Call of Duty 4 blew up and the Wii sort of blew up and gaming became way more mainstream than it ever was before, you've kind of seen this amorphous sort of nebulous assumption of what a gamer is. Mm-hmm. And you see it if you look at any sort of E3 merchandise where it's like gamer with an arrow like up and things like that. If you go to any convention, you'll see this sort of like mainstream, watered down, corporate approved, demographically focused gamer stuff.
Don't come into my room, Mum. It's gamer at work.
And it's just, I don't get old, I level up and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, that's fine. Like, it's enjoyable. It's like harmless. But at the same time, that's the stuff that they're steering completely into. The mainstream crowd, the app stuff, the microtransactions, the mobile gamers. Like, that's the stuff that I think they're trying to create like an entertainment event for. Because someone like, people like us aren't going to read this stuff and be like, oh my God, I can't wait to go and cash my chips
in. The FOMO.
Yeah,
the FOMO.
I haven't felt FOMO. Yeah, it's like, if you think, I was going to say I've never felt FOMO towards E3, but I used to. It used to be the event. It used to be referred to as like gaming Super Bowl, and it still kind of has that. But when you, if you're going to go all down this route, we're going to sort of think that new game announcements and trailers are going to be at the Game Awards, you know, a Tokyo Game Show or whatever, and the E3 is just going to become this weird mainstream thing.
It's a whole pivot to making it a convention. You know, the whole thing with E3 is that, again, like you said, it was the place to go to if you were looking forward to new games being released, new ideas, and then now it's just, it looks like another walk-in place where people will just queue for hours on end to play 15 minutes of a certain demo that they'll be able to download in a few months' time anyway. And it just doesn't seem that the people going there will get their value for money if that is a case that they want to make it a convention-style thing again. Mm-hmm. And if it's not catering for the press and the industry, it's not catering fully to the mainstream audience, then
it kind of doesn't really have like an identity. I get that they're trying to steer so heavily into it to try and establish an identity. It's interesting you said about the industry thing. The little tag that I didn't mention before about the 10,000 additional people is that it's still a 3-day thing. So the first day apparently would be the industry day, and then the two remaining days would be full on public days. So you would still have that day where the industry attempts to showcase stuff. But just looking back the last few years, nearly every major thing at E3 was leaked ahead of time. So it's like, I guess if you're the ESA and you're like, okay, what even can we offer? Then maybe if Nintendo, Sony and everyone else is doing their own thing, maybe this is all you have left.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the next year's E3's biggest highlight is going to be the Just Dance dancers.
Or the Fortnite-sponsored mascot breakdancing. To be fair, I'd take the latter. I'd take Fortnite breakdancing.
Over the Just Dance dancers?
Possibly. Depends if they have glow sticks or not. Because that was good when they were all animals with the glow sticks.
How do you make... Oh man, I'm really upset. I'm thinking about all the different things they want to do. You know, if you've got all these celebrities coming in, what's going to happen? What's going to become of the Just Dance dancers?
I don't. Well, assumedly it would all be replaced
by UB Fest or something. I don't know. Eve Fest.
Remember when Churches came in? Just put Churches on.
Yeah.
Churches and Ubisoft will sort of pair up. But yeah, the general sort of state of E3 seems to be that they're pivoting very hard into the most mainstream assumption of what gamers with a Z want. And I don't think that's most of the people that are watching this right now or most of the people in our office. But it might still work if it has a big enough mainstream pull.
But let us know what you think of these E3 changes down in the comments below. Are you down and hit with the corporate lingo?
Or
are you a little bit less pop and fresh like me and Scott and just kind of being like, what the hell is going on? Please be sure to like, share and subscribe if you haven't already, and head back on over to whatculture.com/gaming for more news lists and articles like this every day. You can follow Scott on Twitter at...
I'm at /LP89.
You can follow me on Twitter at YouInRunesThings. You can follow What Culture Gaming at What Culture Gaming. WC Gaming or What Culture Gaming? I can't remember, but anyway,
you'll find it.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
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 Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.